our translators to introduce themselves and say a few words for you.
Hi, my name is Khan, and I'm the Vietnamese interpreter. Chào quý vị. Nếu mà quý vị cần thông dịch thì qua bàn này để lấy đồ nghe.
Magandang hapon po. Ako po si Jennifer. Ako po yung magiging tagapagsali niyo po sa wikang Pilipino. Sana po hindi po kayo magsawa sa harap pakinig sa aking barok na Tagalog. So, salamat po.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Susana Villegas y estoy aquí para servirles con interpretación simultánea al español. Si requieren de un audífono, estamos en la mesa de atrás y no se les olvide regresar el audífono, por favor, cuando lo terminen de usar. Gracias.
Hello, I'm Anna. I'm the Chinese interpreter. 谁需要中文, 请到我的table那边去拿一个 speakerphone.
Thank you so much. Just a quick footnote is that at our last meet, well, this is the last of five public workshops that we've had so far, and we'll talk a little bit more about them, but in the prior workshops is that we had a lot of Filipino members of our audience, other Asian members, and the events were pretty well organized, and so, you know, there was, you know, pre-selected speakers, some other speakers who all spoke in English. In our last workshop that we had, which was at the Mac Charter School, it was not organized by an advocacy group. So a lot of the speakers, I encouraged them to speak in their native language, in Spanish. And our commissioners heard a simultaneous translation. So for those of you here who speak only Filipino, or Vietnamese, or Chinese, I want to encourage you to come and speak in your native tongue, okay? I want you to feel comfortable, like I want to feel everybody to feel comfortable in giving their testimony. So if you want, please come up and speak, and we will have our translator come and stand next to you, and they can give a translation along with you, okay? We want to hear everybody's opinion. Okay. So this is a special meeting of the Districting Commission. So it is a public meeting. So before we begin, I'd like for all of us to stand, please, and face the American flag and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. So let's start with some housekeeping items. First, the restrooms. Where are the restrooms? Okay, so they're outside and to the left. Okay, perfect. So again, we are here to collect public testimony. So if you want to speak, we unfortunately require you to fill out one of these blue forms. So please, they should be at the front. And so we're going to take a break. So during the break, if you want to speak, please fill out one of these forms. I have two. I think we're missing one. So also, this, even though this is a public meeting, is could you pass that? This is not the only opportunity for you to speak. In the back of this pamphlet, which is in English, Filipino, Vietnamese, and Spanish, and Chinese, there are numerous ways of you to communicate with us by email, Twitter, I think that's what you call it, phone, you can call. So there's many ways that you can communicate to us your opinions, your perspectives about the districting process, okay? Thank you so much. Okay, so let me begin with the introductions. First, to my right are the commissioners of the Districting Commission. I'd like to introduce Commissioner Bill Richter, Commissioner Reynaldo Monzon, Commissioner John Corey, Commissioner Bernardo Vasquez, and Commissioner Rita Buencamillo Andrews, and Commissioner Cheryl Goddard is in the back with her children, and she's got the real job. I'd also like to introduce our city staff here. It's our city attorney, Glenn Guggins, our PIO, Ms. Ann Steinberger, a public information officer. I'd like to introduce in the back, there in the blue shirt, Pedro Anaya from Southwest Strategies and his team of people who have helped put all of this together. They've done a wonderful job in putting all the materials together and whatnot, so I want to give them a shout-out. And then last but not least, I want to introduce Karen McDonald of Q2 and her staff, Jamie. They're the ones who are going to be helping us out with actually creating the maps. They've compiled all the data, the census data. They're also recording or collecting all the public testimony that we're going to be using as we create our district maps. So a quick brief history. In 2012, you, the voters, passed Proposition B, calling for the election of our council members by district and fundamentally changing the way we are going to have our form of representative democracy here in Chula Vista. And it's a big thing. And the reason why we're doing it is really in three words: to make the city council more responsive, accountable, and representative. In our morning meeting that we had on the west side, is that we heard a lot of grievances about particular issues on the west side, and throughout these public workshops, we've heard other grievances that have been voiced by people attending these workshops. Okay, and that's again, that's why we're doing all this, to hold our city council responsive, accountable, and make them representative. All right. We, the commission, have started our work back in September. We had our first meeting. We've been using all these intervening meetings to basically organize ourselves, hire our consultants. And now we're at the most critical juncture of the entire process, and that begins with phase one with these five workshops. Our consultant will get into them more extensively, but we've had five workshops throughout the entire city of Chula Vista, three here on the west side and two three on the east side, two on the west side. We're going to take all this testimony, and we're going to meet on April 24th, and 25th, that's a Friday and a Saturday, where we are in real time, going to create the districts, okay, the maps, okay? So I invite you all to be there. This is another opportunity for you to give input. Then after we do that, then we're going to come back for another series of workshops, again throughout Chula Vista, to get your opinion about those maps. We'll be creating at least two maps and possibly three maps to circulate throughout Chula Vista. And our consultant will go more into detail about everything. Okay, so the primary reason why we are here is to collect your testimony about identifying what's called communities of interest. And when we talk about that, a lot of times people think of it in the abstract. Well, what do you mean communities of interest? Some people will think, well, it's defined by a housing subdivision. Or some people will think it's defined by a high school that's at the center of their neighborhoods. But really what it is something that transcends that. It's where you live, where you pray, where you shop, where your children go to school. It could be defined by a physical building or a park, but it's really where you congregate, okay? All the things that you do within a certain radius, okay? And that's what we want to hear from you. What is that community? What does it mean? And so we're here, and then we're going to take your input, and then we want you to throw it on a map for us. You know, as we get into the second portion of the workshop, we're going to actually have you point out these communities here in Chula Vista, help us create our district maps. So with that being said then, I'll just turn it over to our consultant, Karen.
Thank you, everyone, for coming and spending this beautiful Saturday afternoon with us. What could be better?
than talking about districting on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. I'm going to walk you through the process in a little bit more detail and touch upon some of the issues that Chair Torres has just brought up in a little more detail again. So districting in Chula Vista, how it works and how to participate. Let's start with what districting actually is. So districting is the process of drawing the boundaries that divide the city's population, or will divide the city's population into four sections, essentially. And in a district-based electoral system, the representative lives in the district, and then the people that also live in the districts, they elect that person. What you have currently here in Chula Vista is an at-large system. That's how people call it, and that means that the representatives could live anywhere in the city, and then everybody who lives in the city who is a registered voter can also vote for everybody on the ballot. So that's going to change. We have a 7-member commission that is charged with drawing these districts, and the chair has just introduced the members. And in 2016, the Chula Vista City Council will start to be elected by district, and that's going to be a gradual process. So the first phase is going to be in 2016, and the next phase is going to be right thereafter. How were the commissioners selected? You may wonder. The commissioners had to apply to the Charter Commission and fill out an application and meet various criteria. They, the Charter Commission picked 10 from these applications, and then they randomly selected 4 commissioners. And once they had the 4 commissioners, these 4 commissioners selected 3 others to balance out kind of the geographic and general diversity of the city of Chula Vista, so that, you know, you didn't just have 7 commissioners come from one part of the city, but rather the commission clearly reflects the diversity of Chula Vista. There were various conflict of interest exclusions. So if you had a particular conflict of interest, you could not apply to be on the commission. They included, for example, you couldn't be a city council member. City council members could not apply to be on the commission or work for the city, for example, or be like staff for a city council member, things like that. And the commissioners had to demonstrate a diverse skill set, including analytic ability and impartiality. So the Charter Commission looked at what they brought to the table, you know, what have they done in the past, have they been involved in community activities, and then essentially how did they conduct themselves, can they prove that they're impartial, so that this in essence is an impartial process, so that everybody feels welcome in this particular setting. The commissioners can also not run for city council for 4 years, and this entire process is really designed to make sure that it's a pure process, right? That nobody is coming in and, you know, sitting here and saying, oh yeah, you know, put the lines here and there, and then 5 minutes later they're going to be a city council member. You know, that's not going to happen. So what does the commission do, and when will they do it? As the chair just outlined, there are a number of meetings, and this entire process has been designed to elicit as much public comments as possible, to really open the doors to this process to anybody. So there are a lot of public hearings that people can attend. They are in the evenings and then also on the weekends. So there was a morning hearing today, and then now we're here in the afternoon. The other meetings were earlier this week. A total of 5 of these hearings in April, and then 2 line drawing meetings in April. So what's a line drawing meeting? That's when the commission will pull all of the information together that they receive from the community members, from citizens of Chula Vista, residents of Chula Vista, and they will try to put that all together, and then, you know, kind of use it like puzzle pieces and put districts together from all of that. Figure out whether they can draw some districts that will work for everybody. They are collecting data through community input at hearings, through mailed and emailed submissions. And then they're at that meeting on April, or those meetings on April 24 and 25. They're going to construct and approve a draft districting plan. And this is also going to be a public process. It's going to be at City Hall, and I hope, they hope, We all hope that you will all join us. It's a really interesting process. I can't emphasize it enough. It really is fun to see how this works. You know how they always say, this is how sausage is made? And this really is how sausage is made. Because you'll see them, you know, you'll see them struggle with conflicting testimony. You will see them, you know, remember testimony, go back to testimony, look at lines, ask questions, and then all of that, somehow put it together, and this will all magically, or not so magically, turn into a district plan. And it's great to be there because you can give feedback right away because they will also accept public comment. And, you know, if they're going the wrong way, then you're there and you can tell them right away, well, this isn't going to go the right way. Could you please try to perhaps look at something different? So please put that in your calendar, April 24 and 25. It'll be a good time. I guarantee it. They are going to hold feedback and additional input hearings on the draft that they're developing. So just because they're going to come up with the draft plan doesn't mean the party is over. There will be more parties afterwards. And in particular, there will be 5 hearings in May to collect comments on the draft plan. So, you know, once they have lines, actually, and you can look at them, sometimes it's a little easier to figure out whether or not that's going to work for you. So hopefully you'll take a look. And then they will make modifications to the draft plan after there are 5 hearings in May on June 8. And on June 8, they will approve a recommended districting plan. And then that gets sent to the City Council for feedback. Next, please. This is a list of the meetings that have already happened this week, so we're now on the 5th meeting. As you can see, we were all over Chula Vista, Bonita Vista Middle School, Parkway Women's Center, Otay Ranch, Library Hub, at Mac Charter School earlier today. And so this is going to conclude this week's performances. And then we have line drawing meetings again on the 24th and 25th in a couple of weeks. In May, our plan looks as follows. We will have meetings on the 12th, that's a Tuesday, in the evening, Wednesday the 13th, also at 6, Thursday, May 14th at 6, and then Saturday, May 16th, again, we will have 2 meetings, one at 9 and one at 3. On June 8 at 6 p.m., the commission will reconvene. Again, pull all the information together that they hear at that second phase and then make modifications to the draft plan. So again, hopefully you will participate in that meeting as well. If they schedule other meetings or if anything is happening that they don't yet know about perhaps, it will be posted on the city's website. And the city's website can be found at http://chulavistaca.gov/districting. So please check back there. Anytime you're wondering whether something is happening, there are also a lot of informational materials on this website. So whatever we develop as consultants, for example, maps, you know, that showing the population, anything you can zoom in and out of, we have some statistical reports up there. This PowerPoint is up there. Please feel free to download and use anything that you can find on there. And if you can't find it, send us an email. There's contact information. And let us know what it is that you may need. And we will try to get you what it is that you need. How will the commission decide where to draw the district lines? Well, the Chula Vista City Charter now contains this section about districting. And it also outlines the criteria. We also call those the marching orders, right? So they have these criteria that they have to follow to put these districts together. And I'm going to read them off, and then I'm going to explain them in a little bit more detail. So the first one is that districts have to have reasonably equal population. So not one district with 100 people and one district with 10,000 people. No, it has to be roughly equal when they're done. The second one is that the district boundaries should be geographically compact and contiguous. So those are geography criteria, and I will explain them a little bit more in a second. Third is districts shall follow visible features and boundaries. So a visible feature could be a street, it could be the side of, you know, it could be a the side of a lake, it could be the coastline. So anything, if you can see it, then that's a visible feature. If they were to draw, you know, a line through a big backyard, that would probably not be a visible feature because it could be anywhere in the backyard, right? So sticking to visible features, which really helps when you're trying to figure out if you're in or out of a district. You know, if you know whether or not it's like on Broadway, and if I'm on one side of Broadway, I'm in the district. If I'm not, then I'm outside of the district. So visible features are a good thing. And then finally, they shall respect communities of interest. And the chair already gave you an explanation, and we'll go through this in a little bit more detail after I go through the other criteria. Finally, disregarding incumbents, candidates, and political parties. This just means they're supposed to keep politics out of this process. So there's time for politics afterwards once there are districts and once people, you know, declare candidacy and they're starting to get ready to run for a district, but this process is supposed to be as apolitical as possible. So we don't want to know where anybody lives. You know, if you know it, don't tell us. You know, we don't want to know that there is a potential candidate at a particular intersection. We just don't want to know that. Because at this point, you know, we just really want to go through the process of creating good districts, and then, you know, whatever comes afterwards, comes afterwards. Finally, these criteria, they're not ranked, so you don't have to go like 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's not like geographic compactness is more important than communities of interest. It's not. So basically, they're going to try to do all of this at the same time, which is not easy sometimes. I should say that. So when we're saying equal population, what do we mean by that, right? Here's the rule of thumb for that. And this is really how it's done everywhere. Everywhere you see districts, state of California or, you know, a water district or anything, you take the total population that was reported in the last census. When I say the last census, I mean the census that was collected in the year ending with zero. So 2010, that's what you have to use for redistricting. And I know that there are other, you know, population figures floating around, but by law, you have to use the last census. Okay, so you look that up, you get that total population figure, which we did for you. It was 243,916 people that were counted in Chula Vista. And then you divide it by 4, because we have 4 districts that we're going to draw. And then the magic number, the ideal population, is 60,979. So that's roughly what they're shooting for. But we're also talking about, you know, reasonably equal population. So we don't have to be too uptight about it. Next slide, please. Because there are different standards for different jurisdictions. So for congressional districts, you have to be very, very strict. So for congressional districts, there is not a lot of flexibility. You have to be down to like one person difference between the different districts, 1 or 2 people. But for local jurisdictions, just like Chula Vista, you have a little bit more flexibility. So that means you can be away from that ideal number just a little bit. And the charter also says it has to be reasonably equal. So let's be reasonable about it. And what does that mean? It means we can be generally like plus minus 5%. So there is a little bit of leeway there. And that's a good thing, because if the commissioners know, for example, that there is a neighborhood that they would like to keep together in a particular district, but the population would be a little bit over that magic number, the ideal population, then they have that flexibility to say, we want to keep that neighborhood together, so this district is just going to be a little bit bigger than the other districts. And that's why it's good to have some flexibility. It really makes things easier, and it can make just the districts more responsive to people. So plus minus 5% is about 3,048 people over and under, so above and below the magic number. But of course, it's always better to just kind of stick as close to possible as to the ideal population, because if you have too big of a deviation from the ideal, then, you know, sometimes people can get a little bit more representation than others. So anyway, Voting Rights Act, Section 2. While this is not specifically mentioned in the charter, the Voting Rights Act applies nationwide to all jurisdictions that conduct elections. So it's something just like equal population, which is in the Constitution that just applies no matter what. What does it say? It says that, or it does, prohibit the denial or abridgment of voting rights on the basis of race or language minority status. And language minority status is defined as Asian, Native American, Alaskan Native, or Spanish heritage. And it does not apply to other language groups. It prohibits practices that have the purpose or effect of discriminating on the basis of race or language minority status. So the Voting Rights Act is a big document, and it has a lot of different sections in it. And this particular section is one that applies to districting or drawing electoral districts anywhere. So if you have an area where there is a high minority population, you're always making sure that, you know, you're not discriminating based on, you know, race or ethnicity or language status. Next, please. The big term that you may have heard when you hear Voting Rights Act, right, and when it comes to redistricting is vote dilution. So that's the term that people use. And they also talk about the ability to elect a candidate of choice. So they're not saying you have the guarantee to elect somebody, you know, because there is no guarantees in voting. But you should at least be set up so you have the ability to elect somebody. And there are two different ways by which people can make it very difficult for that to happen, and that is cracking and packing. So imagine you have an area where you have a large minority concentration. If you take that area and you slice and dice it up into the districts, then you're cracking that population and you're making it harder for that population in the other districts to elect somebody who may represent their needs. So it's, again, it's this ability to elect candidate of choice, right? And on the other side, if you have a big minority population that could maybe have a majority in two districts if you draw the lines properly, but you put them all into one district, then they only get one representative, that's packing. So those are the kinds of, you know, little tricks that people oftentimes play, and that's, you know, the courts have realized this, and because of that we have particular, you know, we have the Voting Rights Act to make sure that doesn't happen, at least. When you find practices like that that limit the ability to elect, that is called, that's diluting the minority voting strength. Now, I should also say that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, while the Voting Rights Act applies everywhere, there are various criteria that have to be met that will force somebody to draw a district in a particular way. And we have done that analysis, and we're not going to be forced to draw a district in a particular way. So here in Chula Vista, what we have is an environment where we're really looking for, you know, a lot of public testimony about communities of interest so that we can draw the best districts for everybody. So the best districts that will really give an opportunity for everybody to get good representation. So we're hoping you will give us a lot of feedback on this process. So now back to our charter criteria. Compactness, as I said, I'm going to explain it. It's really straightforward. Kind of straightforward. So if I hold up my hand and if a district boundary follows the outline of my fingers, it's probably not compact. You know, if it looks like something under a microscope, it's probably not compact, depending on what's under the microscope, okay? So, you know, anything that kind of has long arms and legs and looks a little weird. You know, remember when we were all in grade school and we put like a blob on one side and then we folded the paper and then it kind of like spread out like that? That's probably not compact, okay? So compact is more like if you draw an outline of my fist, that's more compact because everything is kind of closer together. Now, there are a lot of academics who like to go to conferences, and I'm actually one of them, and they have all come up with measures to measure compactness, and there's lots of measures floating around. But then the courts, when somebody got sued, they've said, oh my goodness, that's a lot of statistics. And then they said, we know what compactness is because we use the eyeball test. So if it looks funny, then there may be something going on there. So that's your rule of thumb, is does it look funny? And if it looks funny, and sometimes it just looks funny because you are trying to you know, combines some communities of interest, or because maybe your geography looks in a particular way, it's laid out in a particular way, or your city boundaries are really funny looking. California cities have the funniest looking city boundaries. I could look at them all day. I mean, sometimes they're not even connected, you know? So then, you know, if you're drawing your districts may look funny too, and that's a good reason for it. No, but when they're saying funny looking, they really just want to know, did you violate any of your criteria? You know, is it funny looking because you violated the Voting Rights Act or you violated anything else you're supposed to do? So if it looks funny, you have to do a little bit more explaining, usually. The next charter criterion is contiguity. Also pretty easy to understand, a contiguous district is one in which all the parts are connected. So no floating parts, please. Okay, so not half of the district in one area of the town, lots of stuff in between, and the other part in the other area of town. It should really be connected. It has to be connected. And a rule of thumb is if you can get from one end of the district to the other end of the district and you're not leaving the district while you're doing it, then it's probably contiguous. Next, please. Thank you, Brandon. Next one is communities of interest, and this is the big one for this commission, because this is one, you know, with the geography stuff, compactness and contiguity, you can look that kind of up. You can get those data from the census. You can look at a map. You can figure that out. But communities of interest, you can't get from anybody else but the people that live in the community. So we need your input to figure out where your communities are, please. And thank you very much for coming, and I'm hoping you will tell all your neighbors and co-workers and community members to please give us feedback on this criterion as well. The charter says that a community of interest is a geographic area comprised of residents who share similar interests, including social, cultural, ethnic, geographic, or economic interests, or formal government and quasi-governmental relationships. And what is it not? It cannot include a relationship with parties, incumbents, or candidates. Let me take the last one first. So the last one is, again, this process is designed to keep politics out of it. So if in the last election you all walked precincts for your neighbor, okay, and because of that you got to know everybody. And now you're working on some other stuff, but gosh, that is your community of interest because you really like that candidate. And that candidate didn't make it, maybe we'll do it again next time. Well, that may be community of interest, but they can't take that into consideration because the charter tells us that we can't, okay? So please, when you're thinking about your communities of interest, think about other things that unite your community and not politics or relationships with the party. So, you know, everybody here is a member of the Dancing Cat Party. You know, we don't need to hear that. So let's stick to the other criteria. So what are they? Let's go. Brendan, thank you. The law does not limit any community of interest. It could be anything. Whatever it is that is important to you, that is important to your community, can be a community of interest. And please share it with us. There's no right or wrong. You're the expert on it. Please remember that. You're the experts on it. The charter gives you some guidance and some examples, but there could be a whole lot more to it than just those guidance or those examples. And your interests don't need to be limited to what's going on right now. Maybe you're working on something for the future. Maybe it's a goal for your community. Next, please. Thank you. So a good way to think about it is if you could answer these questions. That's a good way to get you started if you're kind of worried about, you know, how do I do this? So what bonds your community? What are your commonalities? What's going on in your community? What do you talk to your community members about? Like, if you run into somebody, what are you talking about? You know, oh, I meant to tell you, I just ran into whatever, and this is going on, right? That sort of thing. What bonds you? What are you talking about? What are you working on with your community members? And then we need to know, where is it located? Because if you just tell us, you know, what it is that you talk about and what you're concerned about, we can't find it on a map. So remember that districting is also a geographic process. So we need to figure out where things are on the map. And because of that, we need you to tell us the boundaries of your community. Like, tell us this street and that street and this street and that street. If you can't figure it out, like, in your head, please use these maps that we have. In the break, you can talk to my colleague, Jamie, and she can pull it up on the map, and maybe you can write it down that way. We have maps on the website that you can zoom into. We're going to have an interactive map on the city's website as well that gives you population figures. So we're trying to make the tools available to all of you to be able to get what you need. And if it's not there, let us know, and we will work on it. Then create a map of the boundaries. Like, you could, you know, draw your boundaries on a piece of paper. Fine, just make sure we can read the street names on it, please. Good handwriting, please. Thank you. And you could also print a Google map. We have a handout on how to do that. It's also on the website. So just go to Google 1234, and there you have a map. Print it out, get it to us. Good things. You can also just write down the boundaries. That always works. Next, please. Here are some examples for common interests that we've run into in our work in other jurisdictions. In California, economic interests, so actually this is about common employment or economic opportunities or lack thereof. So oftentimes people say, well, we have a lot of unemployment in our area, and we're all trying to work on, you know, bringing somebody in who can perhaps open a factory or some sort of a business where people can work. You can talk about expanding opportunities, development, things like that. For social interests, people often talk about schools, culture, common culture, maybe common immigration status, common language, things like that. And goals could be, we're trying to improve recreation opportunities, public safety, that's sometimes a very big one. Could be anything, including potholes or, you know, or trying to come up with an infrastructure to deal with your feral cat population. I don't know why I'm talking about cats all the time, because I'm actually a dog person, but anyway. But there's a dog thing on the next slide. Yes, there it is, the dog park. So you could organize around schools, school districts, transportation hubs. So, you know, we have a Greyhound station where we live that always gets a lot of testimony in situations like this. Maybe you have a community center. That's the hub of your community, because there may be continuing education classes there, or dance classes on the weekend, or cultural classes. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind, and I have not mentioned this yet, is that race cannot be the predominant criterion. That came out of a court case in 1993 named Shaw versus Reno. And what that means is you can't just sit down and just draw maps based on the race or ethnicity of people. There has to be more to it. Okay, so, but then that really is not a problem for all of us, because we all know that race and ethnicity are really related to so many other things, right? So sometimes it's about a shared heritage, a shared culture, a common language, a common immigration status. Maybe, you know, members of your community come from the same place and they have come to this country, but they have family back there. You know, sometimes you have a higher number of kids per household or a younger overall population. You have shared languages, you know, shared cultural events, things like that. So, you know, if you're thinking about it in that context, you know, think a little bit more, give us a little bit more, tell us a little bit more about your communities. Next, please. Thank you. And then finally, as I already said, the commissioners have to disregard where incumbents or candidates live. So we don't want to hear about it. And they will be disregarding political parties as well. So that's just not important for this process. This is a nonpartisan process. Next, please. So why should you participate in districting? Well, clearly to give your community a voice. You're here, you're giving your community a voice. Bring more community members, please. We would love to hear from you. These commissioners have designed this process so that people can provide input. And we have already heard a lot of things that people have not really heard before. And why is that? It's because there is usually not this kind of a forum to really talk about what's going on in your communities. So let us know. Take advantage of this process to let them know so that they can build good districts for everybody. Sometimes this process can encourage citizens to register and vote and remain politically engaged. That really does happen. Maybe bring some of the younger people in the community out, and maybe they want to say something because they're going to be voters. You know, even if they're not of voting age yet, they will be voters, and they will be voting in those districts. So this can sometimes really encourage people to keep involved and remain involved. You should participate because it helps you shape, it will help them shape a districting plan that will provide communities a meaningful opportunity to elect candidates who will represent their interests on issues that are important to their lives. So hopefully you will stay involved. Next, please. If you would like a location to get together with your neighbors, or if you'd like a location where you can learn a little bit more about the process, the commissioners have opened districting access sites. They're in three library locations throughout Chula Vista. They're in the Civic Center branch, the South Chula Vista branch, and in Otay Ranch. And there is meeting space available and internet access, information. There's some folders, basically, or books that have all the information that we have developed. You can get together with your neighbors or community members if you need a meeting space. We've been to the various sites, Jamie and I, and we've actually met with community members at some of the sites. You guys have the most fantastic libraries. We are so impressed and just a tiny little bit jealous. So please take advantage of those fantastic libraries and those great librarians. And you can also, when Jamie and I are here, so during the hearing weeks, we're also available to meet with you. You please just make an appointment with Ms. Steinberger. She's in the back, and she will give you an email address. There's also phone numbers on the web, and there's all these flyers that have the contact info available. So if you'd like to meet with us to work in a little bit more depth on something, if you have questions, please just let us know. And during the break, we're also available. So next, please. So how do you get involved? Please testify, submit testimony, and so forth. The first deadline for consideration of communities of interest or other topics the commission needs to know about is April 20. And that's just because we're going in the line drawing 4 days later. So, I mean, if you come to the line drawing, clearly you can tell us things that you haven't had a chance to tell us. But if you get information in earlier, then they have an opportunity, because these are all working people, you know. This is a volunteer job for them. If you give them a little bit of time to digest the information and read it and look at, you know, maps you submit or and so forth, so that would be a good thing. You can also submit information here at the hearing. You can mail it, you can drop it off at the city attorney's office at City Hall, or email it to districting@chulavistaca.gov. And please again check the city's website for news and upcoming meetings at chulavista.gov districting. And thank you so much again for participating.
Okay, so before we take a break for 20 minutes, so you can walk around, look at the maps, talk to each other. We have the commissioners that you're very much encouraged to talk to. I do want to point out, aside from your testimony, we have this form in the back in English and in Filipino, and you can take this and Spanish and other languages. Please take these forms and take them to your friends, take them to your neighbors, take them to your family, and have them fill it out and send it to City Hall. The address is on the forms, or just give them to one of your other friends, and they'll get it to us, okay? So we're going to break for 20 minutes. It is 10 to 4, so let's come back at 10 after 4, okay? 20 minutes.